3. A Mechanical Centaur. Martha had learned so much from Enoch, and one of the most important lessons was, don't look back, look forward. And yet, surely it was safe now. The Nat drone cameras on Admiral Hunsey Island circled the jungle in clusters, in prearranged patterns hour by hour, swooping and swirling, photographing and recording. They filmed the undersides of each leaf, the movement of the insects on the mottled bark, the texture of the crumbling soil underfoot. Through the proprietary Fantail platform and a virtual reality headset, Fantail users could explore this rich jungle environment for hours, except for certain areas where it would be too sensitive to send the drones due to the breeding and nesting patterns of some rare species of bird and the delicate ecosystem of plants and microscopic life. Fantail provided a new version of the island to explore once a week. There was more to observe there than a single user could take in, even if they spent all their days on the island, which some did. Fantail users watched the seasons pass in this gloriously rich environment. They had no way to access the hidden parts of the map, and no complaints that the island was only updated weekly. Martha stepped through the gaps in space and time, unlocking the portions of the map that Selenomic had carefully partitioned off years earlier. She had never done this before. There had been too much to do, and she had wondered whether seeing Lank would trigger something in her, pity, compassion, guilt, that would prove too painful to manage. In the quiet of her home, now, late at night, Martha Einkorn inputted the special codes, showed her face and her fingerprints to her device, and walked into the parts of the jungle that no Fantail user would ever be able to see, the places where Lank Sketlish lived. In the world of illusions, Martha walked the jungle. Once upon a time, long ago, another Martha had walked a forest like this one. Her father had left her in the forest and she had killed a bear to survive. She had understood then that nature will sometimes throw up a totally destructive force, a bear that might kill you and yet receive no nourishment. Lank and the others could have been left to gnaw on the world until it was blackened and splintered, and they themselves would not have had a drop of nutrition or joy from the process. The bear has to be taken out in one blow and left in the woods. It was, of course, trivially easy to ask the drones to find Lank Sketlish in real time and follow him. In the imaginary jungle, Martha padded forward softly, finding that she was holding her breath as if he were an exotic and dangerous animal, easy to startle and hard to escape. There was no scent to the jungle, but there was sound. The birds screeching, startled from one tree to the next, the thrum and tap of the busy lives in every tree trunk. For many long moments, Martha Einkorn was too mesmerized to remember, quite, why she had come here. And there he was, Lank Sketlish, long and less lean than he'd once been. He had developed a mildly rounded belly, the sign of peaceful living and a body taking on a little extra just to be sure. He was wearing the legs of his survival suit like goatskins, the top part bent back, with its arms extended to the ground to form a second set of legs behind him for stability. He looked like a strange god, a mechanical centaur, reaching into the tree for ripe, browned, bruised fruit, turning it in his hand and tasting it. Martha smiled to see him. If she could have chosen any end for Enoch, this would have been it. Thinking this, she knew in her heart why she had stayed away for so long. She'd been afraid that she might have seen Enoch's fate here, the smoke, the ash, the burning, falling and rising from and into the sky. But Lank was happy, healthy and free, like any creature released into the wild after a long confinement. She followed him through his paradise. It was the season for certain kinds of nuts, and he'd tied large oilcloths between the trees, the more easily to gather them as they fell, chasing off the squirrels and rodents who were after his harvest. He looked younger as he worked, in a sense younger even than when she'd met him. There are some of us, she thought, who always wanted and needed to be fox, people who sought the new without pause, who could only be satisfied with a life of constant movement. Do we drive relentlessly toward the future because we don't wander the world anymore? She wanted to say this to him, to ask, do you know how happy you are and how well this suits you? And so she was startled when he said suddenly, yes. Yes, said Lank Sketlish. Yes, a good harvest, not bad at all. What do you think? And the suit, the second head dangling close to the ground, said, pretty good, sport. Get those stored away nicely. Link said, how many people do you think we could feed from the harvest this year? The suit said, from what you've gathered, 30 or 40 people easily. If they come this winter, then, there'll be plenty to feed them? Oh, yes, said the suit. If they come this winter, they'll eat very well. Lank nodded, and Martha wanted to say, who do you think is coming? But she knew who he thought was coming. There had been an apocalypse, and he was prepared to wait. In his belief, someone would be coming at some point. People would arrive here, and he would be able to show them his stores, and they would tell him that he was brave and brilliant. That was what he'd been waiting for all his life. She followed him farther, down to the south and the east, following the line of the river. He had laid strands of rippled vine rope in the shallows, and the dark skeins were pocked with a kind of white-shelled clam, orange flesh just visible within. He hauled up some of the ropes and gathered only as many as he needed, 15, enough for supper, and then turned to walk back to his autumn camp through the dark woods. Martha walked alongside him, falling into step with his easy loping pace. She said aloud, you are good at this. You always knew you would be. Link looked to his right, and for a moment she felt he was bashful, turning from the compliment, and then he took a step to the right and vanished. Martha stopped still. The jungle continued to move around her, green and gold, russet and auburn. The birds clattered from tree to tree. The nuts fell like bright raindrops. No Lank. Reload, she said. Fantail, reload the simulation. The world flickered around her and returned. No Lank. Fantail, she said. Where is Lank Sketlish? Lank Sketlish is not on the map, said the assistant in warm, friendly female tones. He was just on the map a moment ago, said Martha. Where is Lank Sketlish? I don't have that information. I'm sorry. He turned to the right. He'd walked a pace to the right. Martha turned to the right. She walked a pace to the right. There was a tiny ripple in the world. The trees continued to sway in the gentle wind above. A spider processed steadily up the corrugated bark. Fantail, said Martha. Which version of Admiral Hunsey Island am I in? You are viewing the public archive of Admiral Hunsey last updated 3 days, 6 hours, and 22 minutes ago. But a moment ago I was in the secure version of Admiral Hunsey Island. Fantail did not understand her. She had to flip her visor up and manually force a reload. Still nothing. The pace to the left took her back into the secure version. The pace to the right took her into the publicly available version of the island. Suddenly, away along the path in front of her, Link Sketlish reappeared. He had taken a short detour into the woods to her right and vanished into an invisible section of the island. Now he was back, whistling as he horse-strolled toward his camp with the sack full of ripe nuts clacking on his shoulder. With half an hour of careful work, Martha could see quite clearly which portion of the island had been excised from view. She wouldn't have noticed it if Link hadn't vanished in that way. It had all been quite seamlessly done. If she'd just been wandering, if he'd taken a different path, she would have walked from the public to the secure versions of the island without ever seeing the joins. But now she looked for it, there it was. A 100-square-mile section in the south of the island, about 8 miles wide, about 12 miles long, was not updating in real time like the rest of the island. There was the carefully doctored weekly drone footage, of course, set like the rest of the island to scour any hint of human habitation. So the drones were still humming through that section in drowsy masses, recording. Martha spoke to the Fantail systems in all the ways she understood. She gave it her keys and codes, the passphrases that unlocked the rest of the island that let her follow Lank Sketlish. Fantail accepted the passcodes but did not unlock. She was not a technological expert, but she ran the diagnostic function she understood. Nothing. She chewed her lower lip. An hour later in her garden at home, the warblers and the red-winged blackbirds thronged to her bird feeder, each as recognizable as if they had been badged by a branding expert. Martha watched their attentive heads tipping to one side and then another, looking for the neighborhood cat and for the bright berries in the bush. She thought, I have been taken in by the world of symbols. I have mistaken the map for the territory, me of all people. She thought for a while, and then she called Badger. There's a part of the island that's not responding properly to my passcode, she said. Do you have any idea what's going on there? Badger said, oh, and then stopped. Badger was not good with lying. Martha said, is there something you want to tell me? Badger said, listen, I told them at the time that if you asked me directly, I would tell you the truth. Okay? So are you asking me directly? Martha said, I think I am. Badger said, okay then.